2 more hours. Amen. Take your Bible and go to the book of the Revelation, chapter 22, and stand with me in honor of God's Word. For the last 6 or 7 messages, we have been looking at chapters 21 and 22 and the different aspects of heaven. Yesterday, Brother Dave McCracken called me, and as I was driving across town, and he said, "Have you ever read the book by Randy Alcorn on heaven?" And I said, "Actually, I have." He said, "Well, in that book, it talked about how nobody preaches on heaven anymore." And I said, "Well, I've preached for the last 6 or 7 weeks on heaven, so that's not true." But I was reminded that I read that book when it came out. I think it was in like 2002 or 3. It's a very thick book. It's about 500 pages, but this man does a great job on talking about how things today will be so much different and how that we should live for heaven. Just not live because we're not going to hell, but live as we're going to live in the light of heaven. So I would recommend that you, in some places it's a pretty deep read, but he'll say things like this throughout the Bible: "I suppose, could be." And the reason that he has to say that is because no one knows. Because here's what the Bible says: "I hath not seen, nor ear heard, or entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for us who know Him." And heaven is going to be so great because of who Jesus Christ is and what He has done for us. So we are coming down to the last maybe 3, 4, 5 messages. And the reason I say that is because I never know until I'm actually done. But we are finishing up the Revelation, and we have been in close to 80 messages over the last 3 or 4 years. And we will finish this and move on to 1 Corinthians chapter, the book of 1 Corinthians. But notice with me down in Revelation 22 and verse number 8. "And I, John, saw these things and heard them." And of course, these are all the things about heaven that we've looked at. "And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, See thou do it not." Now you get the idea that John was so overwhelmed by what he had just saw. He had just saw the glory of God. He had just saw the glories of heaven. He had saw heaven and earth merging together in the New Jerusalem. He had saw all of this, and he heard the words of Jesus Christ saying, "Behold, I come quickly." And this angel that had delivered this, he fell down. Now, John knew not to worship an angel, but the angel made sure that he understood, "Don't worship me. I'm not God. I'm not Jesus Christ. I'm just an angel," which means I'm a messenger that's sent by God. So he said, "I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God." Did everybody hear that? We don't worship our job. We don't worship the house that we live in. We don't worship education, yet these are things that are being worshipped today. Worship God. "And he said unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still." These are the words of Jesus Christ here, verse 12 and 13. "And behold, I come quickly," that's said also in verse 7, "and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be." Verse 13 is the text for today. "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." Father, I pray this morning, as we continue to pick verses from these last 2 chapters, and as a whole, we understand that this is getting down to the final invitation that the church and Jesus Christ will give to mankind. We understand that this book was written to the 7 churches of Asia Minor, therefore written to us today. We understand that this is a futuristic book, that we are seeing the things which must shortly come to pass. And Lord, we have now seen heaven, and we have seen the glory of the city called New Jerusalem. We have seen the activity of the city. We have seen that those that are not saved will not be in the city. We have seen the water coming forth from the throne of God. We have seen all kinds of beauty. Not only have we seen the material, but the vegetable. We've seen the life. We've seen the beauty. We've seen the unbelievable man who could never describe what we have seen will be shown to us one day in eternity. And then, Lord, as you finish up this book, you'll tell us that you're coming back for us, and it's going to be very, very soon. And if the Apostle Paul, who wrote to young Timothy, believed that he lived in the last days, and he did, and then Jesus saying he will come quickly, we believe these words, and they will shortly come to pass. We pray, Lord, that you would bless the reading and the preaching of your word today as only you can. In Christ's name we ask, amen. You may be seated this morning. The Apostle John, who wrote the book of the Revelation as given to him by Jesus Christ on the Isle of Patmos. It was there that John had been banished on this isle. He had been banished because of the preaching of Jesus Christ, because of what he had preached and what he believed. It had now been, since the time that John is going to see the revelation of Jesus, about 60 years have passed since the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We understand that the apostles had been scattered throughout the earth, but they had continued on in the ministry of preaching the gospel and seeing churches established all across the known world. And we find that John had been banished to the Isle of Patmos because of one reason, that is the preaching of the gospel, which should show us that we should never take for granted the freedoms that we are allowed to have in this country in which we live. We know that the island called Patmos was a penal colony. It was situated, in the Aegean Sea between Turkey and the Isle of Crete. This small island was about 10 miles long and 5 miles wide. To be banished there meant to be insufficient in food. It meant to be insufficient in sleep. It meant to be laying on a bare ground, rugged conditions. Chains, nakedness, this would be the condition that John would be in. And now John, if you understand that 60 years have passed since the resurrection, that John is probably close now to 90 years old. He is exiled to die on this island. And they thought, those that were putting him on this island thought, that will get rid of John. That will get rid of John. I remember hearing Art Wilson preach maybe 20 years ago from this passage of Scripture talking about John being banished on the Isle of Patmos, and how that as they got away from the island and they begin to row away, that he would say, "Hey, John, do you believe in Jesus now? Hey, John." And then John would come back, "No, never alone. No, never alone." That's all you're going to get of my singing. Hey, that wasn't too bad. Oh, man. If I can do 3 chords and never get off key, that's pretty good. But even though John was left there to die, Jesus Christ showed up on the scene. Jesus Christ came to him and gave him this book that we call the Revelation of Jesus Christ. It's not the book of the Revelations. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. And you know what John is being able to be shown? Things that will shortly come to pass. And so when we were several years ago, we saw that John was able to see what things were going on in the present, and he already knew things that had gone on in the past. And when you really get to chapter 4, that Jesus Christ begins to show John those things that will happen in the future. Now listen to me, if you're under the sound of my voice, these things will come to pass. Amen. These things will happen upon this earth. Now here's what I want to just focus in on this morning though, kind of a topical message if you would, from verse 13. Jesus Christ is going to make sure that John knows several things here in this text. Number one, he wants him to know this. I will come again. I will come again, and my coming will be quick. Behold, I come quickly. The second thing is, he wants John to understand that the reward that he has with him is to give every man according to his work shall be. Every man shall give an account of himself to Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to listen to me. There are no exceptions. Now, we have already come through the great white throne judgment. He that is outside, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. But he that is righteous shall be righteous. He that is holy, let him be holy. I will reward every man according to what he has done. It'll be in that day when people will wish and wish that they had been more faithful to the house of God. It will be in that day that they wish that they had spent more time in the Word of God and in prayer. In that day, they will be sorry because they did not witness to their neighbor or they did not give the gospel to someday. But Jesus Christ said, hey, if you're saved, you're saved. If you're holy, you're holy. But I will give to every man his reward. And then he said this, I'll come quickly. Then he said this, and the next thing that I'm focusing on, not that I won't deal with these other things, he said, I want you to know something. John, he said this, and he wants us to know this. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and I am the end. I am the first and I am the last. And here's what we want to look at this morning as Jesus Christ said that. Now we don't, the alphabet of the Greek alphabet would be Alpha would be the beginning letter and Omega would be the end letter. If we were saying it in English, we would say it like this. Jesus Christ is A to Z and everything in between. He is the beginning, He is the end, He is the first, and He is the last. That means this. Jesus Christ has always been. In the beginning was God. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. Listen to this. The Word is Jesus Christ. And it goes on to say, and the Word was God. Do you understand that the written Word of God, this is Jesus Christ. These are the words of God. These are God's words. This is the Word of God. And Jesus said, I have always been and I always will be. I am the beginning and I am the end. In John chapter 8, when Jesus Christ was on His earthly ministry, and He would say things like, I and my Father are one. They would take up stones to throw at Him because they understood that Jesus Christ was saying that He was equal with God, and He was saying that He was equal with God because He was equal with God. He is equal with God. He is God. He is the resurrected Savior. But here He says, I am the first and I am the last. In John 8:58, He said this. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Because they said they wanted to bring up Abraham as their father. And Jesus Christ says, well, just so you'll know, before Abraham ever was, I am. Jesus Christ didn't say He was. He didn't say I was. He said I am. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 17, the Bible says, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. Jesus just wants us to understand He is everything. He is the only way of salvation. He is the only... Hey, listen, there are not 15 ways of salvation. There's not 3 ways of salvation. There's not your way of salvation and my way of salvation. There's the Bible way of salvation, and that is through Jesus Christ. There is no salvation through good works. There is no salvation through baptism. There is no salvation in hanging on or keeping on. There is salvation through Jesus Christ and Him alone. And my friend, not only is He salvation, He is the Lord and Savior of our life. And we're to obey Him. Jesus had no beginning. He is the beginning. Creation had a beginning and it began with Jesus Christ. Our life had a beginning and it began with Jesus Christ. If we're saved, our salvation had a beginning and it was with Jesus Christ. That's very simple, but yet it is so profound. You see, Jesus Christ, He is the Alpha and He is the Omega. of creation. In Genesis 1, in verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Did everybody hear that? If there was no big boom, there was no evolution, there was no, listen, the vastness of this universe is made by God and God alone. God said, let there be light, and there was light. Sir Isaac Newton, the scientist, said this, and I quote, the most beautiful system, speaking of the universe, could only proceed from the dominion of an intelligent and powerful being. God even tells us in the book of Romans chapter 1, listen to this, I want you to understand Romans chapter 1, and I may be doing a little bit of going through a few scriptures today, but in Romans chapter 1, I want you to understand this. Verse number 19 says this, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. Now you listen to me. Even as a small child, unsaved till I was 24 years old, but even in my own little mind of a child, I understood there was something outside of myself. Why did I know that? Because God placed within man something that He didn't place within an animal. He gave man a soul. And the soul has been marred by sin, but it doesn't take away that God is there to show us that He is there. You cannot deny that there is a God of this universe. You may want to deny it, but you know in your soul. Every person knows there's God. But God goes on to say this in Romans chapter 1. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. In other words, not only did God give us a conscience, not only did God put within us a soul that is totally different than an animal. Listen, I hate to tell you this, but when your dog dies, it dies. When your cat dies, praise God. But when your dog dies, it's sad. But when man dies, he lives for eternity. Because he has a God consciousness that God... But then God said, for the invisible things from the creation of the world are clearly seen. I'm sorry about that. For all you cat lovers, you need to come to the altar. I'm sorry. Being understood by the things which are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. You know what God just said here? God said, I am the beginning and the end of creation. In other words, I'm the one that created this world, and I'm the one that will destroy this world. I am the one that created mankind. I am the one that will judge mankind. And He goes like this. You can look at the creation of God. And by the way, the creation of God is totally amazing. It is absolutely the intricate of mankind is amazing. How His body was made. And how it all fits together. It's amazing, the creation of God blowing breath into man and making him out of dirt. We are nothing but dirt. And we came out of dirt and we'll go back to dirt. But the difference is with us is a conscience, a soul consciousness of God. But God looks at man and He said, now I want you to look out into the galaxy. I want you to look out in the vastness of God. I want you to look at the creation. And I want you to understand, because I've created all of this, that you are without excuse. That you are not going to be able to stand before God and say, I didn't know that there wasn't a God. God will say, look up in the sky. Did you not see the full moon last night? Did anybody see that? Have you not seen the magnificent of the galaxies? Do you not understand the science that we're able to understand the vastness of the galaxies today? You understand that God made that. That didn't just come into existence. And Jesus Christ at the very end of the revelation is saying, listen to me, I am the beginning, I am the end, I am the Alpha, I am the Omega. There is such clear evidence of God, the one who created everything, that He looks at mankind and says, you will be without excuse. You're not going to be able to stand before God and say, well, I didn't know. First of all, that is called general revelation. The consciousness that you have within you that when you were a child and you stole something or you lied and your parents said, "What did you do this?" And you said, "No," you know right then you're a liar. Amen. You are a liar. And you understand. And God will prick your conscience to show you that you're a liar. That's God can do that. Then God said, "I've made the creation to show you that I'm God so that you're without excuse." And God not only is the beginning of creation, but He will end the creation as we know it. Look at 2 Peter chapter number 3. Again, this is all within Jesus Christ being the Alpha and the Omega. He started creation, and you don't have to go very far, just a couple of pages over to your left to 2 Peter chapter number 3. And notice with me down in verse number 4, the Bible says, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Now everybody see that? We're staying in the context here. Everybody's saying, "Oh yeah, well, you believe in God, we don't believe in God." Now there's a mockery of God in our society like, boy, that we've never seen before. In fact, I would say the mockery that we have towards God is deep into the government. It's deep into the politics of the world. It's deep into the educational system, because the educational system, publicly speaking, has come to the place where they want to eradicate God. They don't want the Bible. They want no prayer. Listen, you understand, I'm 60 years old and I can remember being in elementary school and starting in elementary school in the second and third grade having prayer and the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag having prayer in the public education system. Oh, no, we can't have that. Well, let me ask you this. Do you think things are getting any better since we've taken the Bible out of the educational system? Do you think that the judiciary system is any better since we've taken God? No, everything has become secular. Listen, my friend, our whole judicial system was based upon the Ten Commandments. And so now we have people who say, just like what they were saying to Peter, where is the promise of His coming? Everything is going on as it was since the creation. Verse number 5. 2 Peter 3, 5. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that was then was being overflowed with water perished. In other words, everything can be explained by the flood. Because God flooded this place. He created. He destroyed. Verse number 7. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, listen, as they are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. And then God goes on to say through His word, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness. Here's the reason why God hasn't destroyed the earth yet. This is the reason that God has held back His judgment, because He's long-suffering to usward. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You see, my friend, Jesus Christ has not come back yet. Therefore, there is still time to be saved. There is still time to serve. In Revelation 21 that we've already gone through in verse number 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I'm telling you, you see heaven and you see earth, and you see them come together. And God makes new heavens and new earth. One day everything God has started, God will finish. He has given us a beautiful world to live in, but nothing compares to the beauty that will come. God started all that we see. But here's what you have to understand. He's the beginning and He is the end, meaning that He will end everything that we see. So He is the Alpha and Omega of creation. He is also the Alpha and Omega of life. Now you could use the word conception here if you wanted to be if you wanted to alliterate. But He is not only the Alpha and the Omega of creation, He is the Alpha and the Omega of life. In other words, God gives life and God takes life. And every man in here, every woman, every boy, every girl, especially young people, cannot understand this. But they too will one day meet the Lord in death. Now, only exception to that, Revelation 4, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 Thessalonians 4, is the rapture, when the catching of way, when we see that heaven opens in Revelation 4, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together and meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord, comfort one another with these words. Outside of the coming of the Lord, and don't tell me you know when the coming of the Lord is, because you don't know. It could be 100 years from now. It could be 5 years from now. It could be 5 minutes. And when that happens, time's up. You know why? Because God, Jesus Christ is the beginning and He is the end. He is the first and He is the last. He is the one that started creation. He is the one that will end creation. He is the one that started life and He is the one that will end life. Have you ever thought when your life began? Some believe it began when you were born. That's what the liberal abortionist would have us to believe today, that life does not begin until you're born. That's not true. That's not true. Now, I will tell you this. No man can explain to you how the bones form in the body. Nobody can explain to you how the cells multiply and the little feet and the little toes pop up. Nobody can tell you that. I'll tell you how it did. God did it. Only God. God is the beginning of life. God is the one that God is the one that creates life. Now, He has man in procreation. I understand that. But my friend, you did not begin when you were born. You began 9 months before that. And so really, you're older than you think you are. Too bad for you. Amen. Psalm 139. I want you to go there. Psalm 139. I'll tell you what the Bible says about your beginning. And by the way, He's the beginning. He's the one that starts life. He's the one that ends life. I had so many people. I'm telling you, it reminds me this week of the visitation of my dad. Listen, I told you in the South, we started at 2 o'clock. Actually, we got there at 1 o'clock. And in the South, you know, you pull up and there's no name on the board. And I said, I was telling Brian this. I said, so we got in there. We're in there about 1 o'clock. And the visitation starts at 2 o'clock. And the guy goes, well, we don't put the name out there, because once we put the name out there, he goes, two things. Number one, we don't like the family to roll up and see their loved one's name on the marquee out there. And I go, okay. Second of all, he goes, as soon as we put the name on there, there'll be people stopping. This is true. And so I said, well, wait till my sister shows up. My brother was there. I was there. Wait till my sister shows up. Once she comes in, put the name up. Brother, once they put the name up, people started rolling through the door. I'm thinking, well, I guess that funeral home director, he knows Soddy Daisy like nobody. I mean, people I hadn't seen in 40 years, 30 years, people, railroaders came by, many of them. It just went on, and everybody would come by, and sometimes people just don't know what to say. And so sorry about you. I told you in the South, it's this. Sorry about you, Daddy, here's a casserole. Sorry about you, Daddy, here's some chicken wings. Sorry about your Daddy, here's a cake. And so there's food everywhere. But I don't know why they do that. I guess for your family, because every time I'd go try to get a sandwich, they say, hey, you got to come back, there's more people. And it's just a steady stream of people. Here's what I said on many occasions when they'd say, sorry about your Dad. You know what I'd say? It was his time. What else is there to say? It was his time. And brother, when it's your time, it don't matter what's going on. It's your time. God knows the time of your conception. God knows the time of your death. And I'm glad He don't tell us when it is. And I don't remember when I was born. They told me I was, and they gave me a birth certificate to show me, and they even told me the date of what it was, and so I just have to take it for granted they're right. But I not only have a birth date, I have a death date. You know why? Because God is in control of life and God is in control of death. Psalm 139, verse number 13. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Jeremiah, when God wrote to Jeremiah, and Jeremiah began to be that weeping prophet, and he saw the nation of Israel going into sin, and they were so wicked. Jeremiah was told by God in chapter 1 and verse 5, he said, God said to Jeremiah, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, Jeremiah. I ordained thee to be a prophet in all the nations. You see, my friend, you need to understand this something this morning. Your beginning started with Almighty God. And because you are created by God, you are important. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, went to the cross of Calvary to pay for the sin debt. He paid for your debt. He paid for your sin. He is not willing that you should perish and die and go to a Christless hell. Hell was prepared for the devil and his angels, not mankind. God prepared eternity in heaven for us. But I will tell you this morning, your beginning didn't start with anybody at God. You're no accident. You are not a biological mistake. And I don't care what star it is that screams into the microphone that they're proud of their abortion. I'm telling you, in the depths of their soul, they are not. That's a lie. You cannot take human life and not feel some remorse and guilt because of that. And it doesn't matter. Listen, don't tell me that life begins. I've seen babies at 21 weeks. Lay there, and you can see the little hands and the little feet. And I'm wanting to understand, if God knew Jeremiah before he was born, if God had a special purpose for him 3,000 years ago, what makes you think you're any different? You're a part of God's plan. Are you listening to me? God planned for you a special purpose. In Luke chapter number 12, I want you to see this little story here in Luke chapter number 12. You don't have to turn there if you don't want to, but I'll read it to you. Luke chapter 12. I know I'm a little bit all over the place today, but that's okay. Jesus Christ said this, are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are more value than many sparrows. Also, I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. Let me just tell you something. Every person sitting here, God is the beginning of life. And God knows all about you. He created you. Your beginning started with God. Don't mock him. Don't deny him. Don't reject him in salvation. Because you know what God's purpose for us is? I can tell you, God's purpose for us is to glorify him. And you can't glorify God if you're not saved. You can't glorify God when you're dead in trespasses and sin. You can't glorify God when you reject the only way of salvation. That is why you were conceived, is to glorify God. It may have not been the original intent of your parents, but you can be sure it was the intent of God. God doesn't make junk. Did you hear what I said? Well, there's a lot of damaged goods. People say, God didn't make junk. He's the beginning and he is the end of who you are. Someone said this, when you were born, you cried and everybody else was happy. The only question that matters now is, when you die, will you be happy when everybody else is crying? God was present when you were born, and God Almighty will be present when you die. You know why? Because he's the Alpha and the Omega. He's also the Alpha and the Omega of not only life and not only creation, but he is also the Alpha and Omega of salvation. You could say it like this, if you want to use alliteration, conversion. He is the beginning and He is the end of creation. He is the beginning and the end of conception or life. He is the beginning and the end of salvation. My friend, John 3:16 is still in the Bible. Amen. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, as we learned in the Sunday school lesson this morning, just as soon as man broke that peace with God in the Garden of Eden, at that very time, you can go right back to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, which we call the great progenerate. It's the verse in the Bible that shows us that God had a plan for man to be saved. Man, I'm acting like Joe Biden now. Sorry about that. It's showing us that God was the one who looked down at man when man broke peace with Him, when man fell into sin, when man disobeyed God, when man fell away from God. God said, I have a plan. Listen, I have a plan for salvation. And it's through my Son, Jesus Christ. And as we know, He had to create a nation. And from that nation and from one of those tribes, the tribe of Judah came. And you understand as you read through your Bible, because the Bible interprets itself. When they said that Jesus was the Christ, the word Christ in the Greek is the same in the Hebrew as the word Messiah. And so when you see that Jesus is the Christ, you're understanding that Jesus is the Messiah. He is the way. He is the one. He is the salvation. And salvation doesn't begin with you. Salvation begins with God. He is the Alpha and the Omega of salvation. When man fell into sin, God made a way for man to be saved. Salvation started with God. And the devil comes along and says, well, listen, yea, if God said, and he tries to put doubt upon the Word of God. And he lies to man and he says, now listen, in the day that you sin, in the day that you eat of the tree of knowledge and good and of evil, you'll be like God. No, you won't. You will not. Nobody's going to be like God. Amen. But yet man, the devil comes to man today and says, well, if you'll just be good, if you'll just get baptized, if you'll just go to church. Listen, my friend, I'm glad you're in church this morning. I really am. But coming to church ain't going to save a soul. You got to put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ. You know what you got to do? You got to repent of who you are. You repent of your sin. You got to turn and you got to come to Christ and you got to give Him everything. And until you're willing to give Him everything, you're not willing to be saved. Those who know Him in salvation, we know that He's the one who saved us. It started with God and it's going to end with God. There's a difference. Between head knowledge and a personal relationship with Christ. I have a knowledge that planes fly out of Springfield every day. I have a knowledge of that. They're only about 5 miles from my house. And sometimes they fly right over my house where I'm at. In fact, there are times if the plane comes in just right and I'm sitting by the window, which I normally don't do. I'm an aisle guy, just in case you wanted to know that. My wife is the window person. But every once in a while, they'll mess up and put me by the window. So here's what I do when I get in the airplane and I'm by the window. But as we're rolling in, I'll open it up because I want to see if I can see my house. And so I do. Now, there's the difference between knowing planes fly out of Springfield and then actually getting on the plane and trusting the plane to take off. Salvation is getting on the plane, getting with Jesus Christ and being saved. Not just knowing that Jesus Christ exists. Can I tell you that the devils know the existence of Jesus Christ? Have you been reading through the book of Luke this week? Come on now, have you been reading your Bible? Come on, 3 people read their Bible this week. And how many times do you see the devils tremble because they know who Jesus Christ is? My friend, if Jesus Christ, but they're not saved because they rejected God's way. Charles Bolden was one of the tightrope walkers. He was a great tightrope walker in the world. One of his greatest stunts was walking across Niagara Falls on a tightrope. In 1860, he made several trips across 1,000 feet journey, 160 feet above the raging falls. After he would go back to the site after one of his trips, he would ask the crowd, "Who believes that I can do it with a man on my back?" The crowd roared approval. So he asked, "Who wants to be that man?" See, there's a difference between knowing that Jesus saves and getting on his back in salvation. By the way, the crowd became silent after he asked that. Finally, one man stepped out of the crowd and agreed. Who believed? The crowd believed in their mind and even verbalized the belief, but they refused to act upon it. And our world is full of people who know that Jesus Christ exists. They believe that God exists. And they understand that He even created things as they are. There's even people that believe that they believe that God had something to do with their life. But until you come to Him in repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be like the crowd who says, "I believe, but don't get on anybody's back." Folks, Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. He is the beginning and He is the end. He is the beginning of creation and He's the one that'll end it as we know it. He is the beginning of life and He will end our life. Our life will end. Every time a loved one passes by, heaven gets a little bit sweeter. I personally am tired of death. I'll be glad when the Lord ends it all. But I do know this. He is salvation. He's the beginning and He's the end. The world began with the Lord, and the world's going to end with the Lord. In Genesis, the Redeemer is promised, and in the Revelation, the redemption, we see that is completed. Now the question becomes, is He the beginning of your life? Is He the Alpha of your life? Give honor to glory. What does it say in our text? I believe it said, worship God. Worship God. He is the beginning and He is the end. Oh, my prayer has been over the last 8 weeks, people would be saved, not just because of the judgment of God, but people would come to salvation because of the goodness of God. Amen. Because of heaven. Because of glory. Are you saved today? Listen to me. Look at me. Are you saved? Jesus Christ started it all. Jesus Christ will end it all. There's only one way of salvation, and it's through Him. Let's stand this morning, every head bowed, every eye closed. Give Him the honor that He deserves. The greatest honor could be that you would come and be saved. When I read there in Psalm 139, I'm reminded that in verse number 16, I'm going to read this again, Psalm 139, verse 16. The Bible says, "Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them." You know what that says right there? God's the one who knows your DNA. And God don't make no junk. God makes people to honor and glorify Him. Father, I pray this morning that people would be saved because of the goodness of God, because of heaven, because You being the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I think about the angel that John fell down to worship after the Lord said, "I'm coming back and I'm coming quickly." And we're going to deal with that text in future messages. But I just feel like that John was so overwhelmed, he fell down before that angel. And the angel said, "Hey, don't worship me, worship God." And then I'm reminded that so many people worship everything today, but yet they don't worship God. I pray, Lord, that we would not just be hit and miss Christians, not just be convenient Christians, but that we would be sold out to the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. If there is one person here, Lord, or there's one person that is listening on live stream right now and they are unsaved, they know they're unsaved, they know they're in sin, they know they've never repented, they've never trusted Christ, may they understand right now that You created them, that You are the beginning of creation, that You are the beginning of life, and that You are the Savior of the world. And I pray that they would call upon You today before it's too late. because one day it will be too late. God, work in the hearts of people today. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. We're going to sing 505 this morning. 505. I believe that's Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Have Thine Own Way. What a great statement right there. Have Thine Own Way. As we sing this morning, if you need to come, you need somebody to pray with you, you got something you want somebody to pray with you about, we'll be glad to do that. You need to be saved today. You have a burden about somebody that's lost, whatever it might be. Boy, I tell you, we just get too comfortable in our Christianity, I believe, sometimes. But we need to be reminded that Jesus Christ is the beginning and He is the end. As we sing this morning, if you need to come, I'll meet you right down here for whatever reason it might be.
Have Thine own way, Lord. Have Thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after Thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still, have Thine own way, Lord. Have Thine own way. Search me and try.
What about you this morning? God dealing with you in any way, anything?
Master.
Anything, any way, what God might be doing in your own heart and life this morning.
Whiter than snow.
Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed this morning for just a moment. Piano and organ, continue to play. Clark Allison got saved this week. He's already coming forward, wants to follow the Lord in baptism. I love it when the children of the church, they get saved and they call the pastor to let him know. I love it. It's awesome. Get to talk to them about their salvation, what was going on, how God was dealing with them. I want to ask them the same question I'd ask you. I'm going to tell you something right now, my friend. You don't have to be saved in church, but you do have to be saved when God's dealing with you. It's called conviction. Sometimes people say, well, it feels like my heart's coming out of my chest. I've been there. God loves you. God convicting you. He's drawing you for you to come and be saved. Don't reject the only way of salvation. Don't reject the Alpha and the Omega. The one who brought it all into existence. The one who created you. And the one who went to the cross and paid for your sin debt. Don't deny that. Don't reject that. And you know in your heart, you know that God's there and loves you.